some of the younger people might know about this. Do you guys know of this term called that girl, that guy? You would be that girl? You know, okay. So I did see what it said in the Urban Dictionary, and from what I gathered, if you're that girl, you're the one that wakes up at 5 a.m., you have a strict workout regimen, you meditate, you have a meditation regimen, you drink your smoothies. I think you have like the little glass straw or something, and you have all the aesthetics. And if you're that guy, same thing, you're always in the gym, like you never miss a leg day. All of these things, if you want to be that girl, that guy. And so I was like, man, what if we learned how to be that Christian? That Christian looks like a lot of things that we actually don't carry out as a whole. If you look at us nationwide, a lot of people say, oh, America's a Christian country. But based on the freedoms that we partake in a lot of times, just talking about in general as Americans, we don't always look like that Christian. We don't always look like Jesus. And so today, I thought it would be good to talk a little bit from our theme verse, which is Mark 4:20. You can go there if you have it, or if you guys want to put it up on the screen. I'm going to read from the King James Version. Mark 4:20. And some of you may have even read this. You may have studied this. You may have preached from this. But I think the Lord gave me a good angle this morning, so I'm excited to share. Okay, Mark 4:20, it says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. For my introduction, I want to talk a little bit about agriculture. I feel like I'm more appreciative of agriculture since living in Texas, because my husband and I, we have this joke. Oh, he's right there. He usually at the door. So my husband and I, we have this joke, like when we're driving down, when we're on, I guess when we're on like I-10, we might be like, if you look to the left, you can see San Antonio. And if you look to the right, like you can see Austin. Like Texas is just so flat, so wide. You could just see different skylines like all over the place. Anyway, so I'm more appreciative of it. So I really took joy in studying this out. And so in agriculture, there's a resource available, and it's called a soil test kit. A soil test kit. And it's basically a 10-point inspection to be completed on your soil to determine the condition of your crops, your land, and it's also helpful to help farmers forecast what their earnings are gonna be. So it's kinda like when we take a look at our budgets, when we take a look at, okay, what am I bringing home? What are the expenses going out? And what do I have left over? That's you kinda managing what you have coming in. Well, farmers do the same thing. But they test their soil to see how fruitful or how productive it's gonna be. And I'm not gonna get through all 10 points, but if you do wanna look it up, I did get this from Good Housekeeping, as well as the Oregon State University Extension Service. This information can be found on the web. But I wanna talk a few minutes about just some of the points on that test. Remember, we're talking from Mark 4:20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Today we're gonna be talking about the soil test, all right? We'll look at soil structure. When soil is porous, or when it has a lot of pores, a lot of openings, it allows the free movement of water. That means it's not resistant to the movement of water. We also will look at the compaction, how tight, how hard is it to get through it. The less compacted the soil, the easier it is for a plant to establish strong roots. Then we look at workability. It's the amount of effort that it actually takes to plow. Farmers measure this by how much fuel it takes to actually tend to that crop, that area, that they're working through. It's kind of the equivalent of, you know, when you need an oil change, when you having to fill up like multiple times, versus when you have a fresh oil change and your gas lasts you a lot longer. It's less effort on your part because all of the internal workings have been taken care of. Workable soil allows you to reach its root. It allows water, excuse me, to reach its roots. Some soil specialists say when the soil is not workable and when it doesn't allow water to get to the roots, there's actually some underlying issues that have been going on for a while. For a while. For a while. And it kind of reminds me of in Pastor's book when he asked for the SAT, can you be saved and refuse to be baptized? Why won't you allow the free flowing of the water or the Holy Spirit to baptize you? Why would you refuse that? You can be saved. We know the thief on the cross, right? He got saved, but he didn't come down off the cross and then get baptized. But the Lord said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. So we know that that's not necessarily a requirement, but when you say refuse, that key word, why are you refusing? Why are you not allowing the water to work in you? And then lastly, I'm going to talk a little bit about water infiltration, I think is good. For the sake of this message, when soil doesn't have good water infiltration, it's like the word comes in one ear and it goes out the next. So the soil will receive the water, but then it'll almost like pass it off to the neighbor. So you ever heard some preaching and they're saying something and you're like, oh no, surely they're talking about my neighbor. I know they're not talking about me. But no, don't pass off the word. Don't let it run off. This word is for me. This word is for me. Amen. It's important that we have the right perspective on soil. I think about the different perspectives in the Word of God. To some, or even in our lives, to some, soil may be a nuisance to a brand new white pair of sneakers, right? After a great car wash, detailing, you just got your tires, they shining, and then like some dirty four-wheeler like cuts you off or whatever and splats some dirt on you. That's a nuisance to you because you just got your car washed. But God loves soil. In fact, he grabbed the dirt to make us. And he breathed life into us. He's heavily invested in soil. Jesus is concerned about soil because it represents the heart of man. God, our Father, is interested in soil again because he formed us out of it. But there's also some others that are interested in soil. You may know him as the enemy, Satan, Lucifer. The enemy is interested in soil because remember we talked about infiltration and he wants to ruin the soil. He and all of his little imps and everyone working on the dark side for the enemy. And he does it through so many different mediums. He can do it through a movie. He can do it through TikTok scrolling. He can do it through Instagram. He can do it any method of communication. I don't know if I put this in my notes, but can we go to 1 Corinthians 15:33? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Can we put that in the NLT if you have it? Thank you. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Character is very important. It's important to God. It's important to our pastor. It's important to your spouse if you're married. It's important to your friends if you have friends. It's important to family. Like, what you do when nobody's looking, it matters. And how well you pass those character tests determine how workable or how productive your soil is going to be. Like, what kind of fruit are you really producing? And that could be, are you winning souls? Are you making disciples? It could be, are you finishing up your degree? It could be, are you getting promoted on your job? It could be, are you getting the job? It could be, are you pursuing the job? Like, there's so many different, you know, avenues we can go through. But it's communication that a lot of times messes up our soil or our heart. You know, I remember Pastor mentioning like a rule that he and First Lady have, that if there's adultery on a movie, they're gonna turn from it, because you don't want that to corrupt your good character. If you're a faithful man, if you're a faithful woman, you don't want to take in things that will entice you to become unfaithful. I think our culture does a good job of actually making sin look good. Like it looks enticing. It, you know, it's like intriguing. Oh, what if I did this? But your conscience knows it's wrong. But it's that communication that corrupted your good character. So sometimes taking a break from certain communications is vital. It might be a person. If you know every time that person comes around, y'all always talking about the good old days and how y'all used to smoke, how you used to drink. Remember when we used to turn up, yo, that was crazy. Like, we used to be just popping, like, what? What is all of that? Like, that person is taking you back and constantly reminding you of the old man. But we know that those who are in Christ are new creatures, right? So I want to mention that when you have soil that is not in the best condition, you can create a remediation plan. But let's go back to the Word of God to see what Jesus has to say about the soil. Let's go back to Mark 4. This is the parable of the farmer who scatters seed. I'm going to start at verse 1. We can go to NLT, I think. This is good. Okay. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, in my verse 4, some of the seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was so shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep enough roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. They were tender, so they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted. They grew. They produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Say, I listen and I understand. Later, when Jesus was alone with 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. So they still didn't get it. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Watch this. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. That says a lot about why we need to receive forgiveness and be a part of God's kingdom. I don't know if you've ever been evangelizing or speaking to somebody and like you had to kind of scale back how much like Christianese you were talking because they didn't really understand. I will never forget. There was this time I was working. I was doing a contract job in North Carolina, and a lady was telling me how she went to the doctor. And I mean, the diagnosis is not funny, but the story is just they diagnosed her with, I think, some kind of cancer. I can't remember the location of it. And so I was just, you know, on fire for God. And I said, has anyone ever laid hands on you? She looked me up and down and said, lay hands on me? I wish somebody would touch me. I don't let nobody touch me. I was like, oh, have you ever like talked to a minister maybe and they asked to pray with you and maybe held your hand or, you know, put your hand on your shoulder? Oh, you mean like that? I was like, I'm sorry. And she was a security guard too. And she was swole. And she used to walk around like, you know, she had a little gun on him and everything. I was just like, oh man, I messed that one up. But that's what Jesus is talking about. When you're not in Christ, You know, that's no excuse for us as evangelists, by the way. We should be all things to all men. We should be relatable. But I just thought that was so funny. I said, man, she didn't get it. I didn't realize she didn't get it. It was just a lot going on. But Jesus says, when you're outside of me, when you're outside of the kingdom, the things of God, you won't learn anything. You'll see me lay hands on someone. You'll see them rise from the dead, and you won't learn anything from that. Then you'll hear me preaching. So many times people sat, they gathered in the synagogues, they sat in the grass, they sat on the shore. He's teaching all the time. But there are people that will not understand, they just will not understand. And do you know, the Bible said, Jesus says that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So when we're going out, sometimes some people, they're just not going to understand. They're just not. But those who are forgiven, those who turn to me, those who turn to Jesus, they will understand. So you say, I will understand and I will hear. I should listen and understand. There we go. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. He's making it even more plainer. He's saying the sower or the farmer plants the seed, and he does this by taking God's word to other people. And the seed that fell on the footpath, that represents those who hear the message, but only to allow Satan to have at once take it away immediately. So that's like the benediction, pastor preached, mighty word. We went up five keys. Everybody's at the altar, deliverance, everything. Watch over me and protect me from the thing that cannot see. Mm-hmm. All right, you're dismissed. And you get outside and somebody cuts you off and you blah, 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 blah. What's wrong with you? Or somebody call you. Why are you calling me? I told you that. Well, you should have. Okay. That sound like to me, not somebody that left the holy place. That sound like Satan came immediately to steal that word. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. That's the, yes, yes, I know that's right. And I've done that plenty of times. You probably heard me on a message or two. Yes, yeah, yeah, beating the Bible, right? Nothing wrong with that as long as you're gonna really do the word that you hear and receive it, right? But look at this, verse 17 says, but since they don't have deep roots, remember, what hinders the roots from being established? Remember I said when we don't let the water flow freely in that soil to get to the roots, so that means there was some resistance along the way. We received it with joy, but perhaps when circumstances came, we didn't allow the Spirit to move through us, to help us out with that situation. It says they fall away as soon as they have problems. So high time on Sunday, everything is great. Man, I love the Lord. I'm never going to leave the Lord. Pink slip on Monday. And y'all, that happened to me. I had I think Pastor talked about it, but one time I sowed one of the biggest seeds I've ever sown at KCC. And when I got to work on Monday, I had a meeting at 10 a.m. This was another contract job. And I got let go. So what happens when you get that notification? Are you going to just be like, see, every time I try to, every time, they got me. Some people think that. They got me again. They got me all hype and in my feelings. I sold this $1,000 and now tomorrow, what a waste. The devil is a liar. It's never a waste to sow into God's kingdom. Look how much time Jesus is spending talking about sowing. Not only God's word, but we know the Apostle Paul tells us about sowing, right? If we sow bountifully, we reap. But if we sow sparingly, we reap. You know, sometimes we have a sparing mindset, and then we're looking at our neighbor like, well, why they get all of that? If they would allow you, maybe you can look at their giving statement. Because now one thing I know the finance team, they know who really mean amen, amen. Because they're probably like, man, those amens are getting louder, but the numbers are just, they kind of getting lower. Well, we have a great finance team, so they don't do that. But, you know, we're talking about the heart, right? So are we going to just hear the word? We're just going to receive it with gladness, with joy. But then when our water bill is a little higher than normal, you know, are we going to just be like, yeah, I ain't going to give this week, shoot. I got to pay my stuff. ain't nobody about to give all my money. Like, you didn't give all your money. Most people gonna go out to eat after church. So, you know, and I've been there, so I'm not like acting like I'm actually speaking from firsthand experience. But God changed me. He changed my heart. I got in his word. I've been taught by great teachers. And so depending on how close we are to our leaders in terms of what materials they put out, what are they preaching, the closer we are to the things of God, the better we get, the more we grow, the greater revelation we get, we can actually become productive in the kingdom. 19 says, oh, I'm sorry, 18. The seed that fell on the, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. Let's pause there. Worries of this life. Some things that you can worry about. What's some things that you can worry about? Food, relationship, finances. Y'all can yell it out. Work. Brother John. All right now. There's a lot of things you can worry about, right? This next one is very interesting. The lure of wealth. Sometimes people get double the salary through a spirit-filled ministry, and their service goes down. Then they start getting a little coming back. They're not as close to before. They knew every word, every sentence that pastor was going to say, they was finishing it. They meditated every scripture that he said on Sunday. They already had it highlighted in their Bible. But then they got further and further away. It's, remember, we're talking about allure. So allure pulls you. You know, if someone is trying to seduce you, they're trying to pull you in. If a show is trying to lure you in, you find yourself like, I don't got time to pray. God, don't you know Scandal coming on? Like, I remember when Scandal was out. I remember when I was a baby Christian. Like, I used to be, I wasn't at KCC either. But I was, I remember one time I was in Bible study and I was like, man, I guess this is kind of running late tonight. Like, I wanted to watch Scandal. Like, no, you need to get delivered. But that's the lure. It was the lure. I don't even know, because it was all about adultery, right? So what's a single woman who desires a marriage, right, who desires to be married, why is she so enticed with adultery? Like, are you preparing your heart so that when you get married, if you get married, you can commit adultery? Or, you know, what kind of seeds are you really planting, and what kind of fruit do you want to really come up from that? You probably don't want that. So we need to check our hearts on that. We need to be mindful of how close we are to certain, not to certain, but to the things of God. All right, and now we'll get back to, we did the worries of life. We talked about the lure of wealth and the desire for other things. So this is like all encompassing here. It's just other things. It could be a car. It could be a house. Like, I just want to encourage you, like, when you get the things that's on your vision board, do not leave God. Do not leave the people of God. Don't leave the life group. Don't leave the system that helped you get to where you are. That's unfaithful. That's not good character. That's not. And sometimes, you know, when you have friends and family outside of those systems, they will lure you away. You don't even know it. But they're like, oh, and they'll say little things. It's just little stuff. Remember we talked about how the birds came and ate. It's just a little tweety bird in your ear, just a little bit. Y'all going to church again? Okay, all right, girl, I'll talk to you later. And it's just like they dropped that seed, left. You stuck pondering with it. And because you haven't been meditating on the word of God, you don't even have anything to refute it. So then you actually like almost conceive it and start being like, yeah, we do be at church for a long time. Dang. Then you start, well, you know what? I'm going to just do once a week. Because, I mean, we have two services. You really start reasoning. I'm going to just come on Sundays because I could do 8 and 10, like, we're not talking about juggling hours or comp time on your job. We're talking about holy things. We're talking about atmospheres where blind eyes really are open and deaf ears are open and lame walking and people getting rid of their canes, throwing walkers away. We're talking about where the Spirit of God resides, and we're sitting here treating it like something, just some other thing. But that's not fair. That's not fair to God, not to the one who died for us, Remember we just sang, I love you, Jesus, I worship and adore you. The next time you get an opportunity to just skip out, to snooze, I want you to, I love you, Jesus, I worship. I want you to start, if you can't sing, say it, turn it on, play it, whatever you got to do. You have to refute the enemy when he comes in like a flood. Jesus will lift up a standard against it, and you got to be prepared. There's so many weapons, so many messages that our pastor has preached. I think about it all the time. And I'm like, if this person, sometimes people say, what should I do about this? I'm like, I know they didn't replay that message. Because he gave that same example and then gave the solution in the message. So we're going to be held accountable for those words that come across the pulpit and then we don't do anything with it. It's going to be on us. It's going to be on us. It's not because we don't have a preacher. It's not because he hasn't been sent. It's not because he's not anointed. It's not because you did everything. You probably did. There's something you probably didn't do. And even if you did everything, if you're not in joy in that wilderness season, you haven't done everything. I think about after the children of Israel were delivered and they got out of Egypt. And they were complaining against Moses. Complaining, oh, we should have, at least we had meals when we were in Egypt. Don't contemplate how good your life was before Jesus came in. Don't be thinking, oh, man, I remember when I had all them girls. Now I only got one wife. Do you hear yourself? Man, I was so fine in college. I remember, but if you don't have that shape now, you need to be blessing God for where you are now and just work where you are now. Don't worry about when you was a size 2. Don't worry about that unless you're going to put in the work to get back there. If not, you just be satisfied. Be content where you are. Don't be reflecting on yesteryear and, oh, I just remember, oh, man, when I was in high school, I never forget when I was in high school and I heard, like, my older male cousins and my older female cousins talking about when I was in high school, I used to be like, you mad old, why are you even still thinking about high school? Like, what are you doing now? And that's how I used to get in trouble when I was a kid, because I was very objective. Like, I just, cause and effect, I had down pat. I was like, yeah, but you still live with grandma, so you're not doing anything. You know what I mean? But, you know, that was very dishonorable, so I had to, the Lord did a work in me. But in some ways, you know, the principle was true. Like, if I'm staying the summers at grandma's house and you was the star quarterback or wide receiver, why me and you at grandma's house to get, like, why are we there? Why are we there? I should be hearing about my star, you know, wide receiver uncle. He just made it big and, you know, got a mansion, all this stuff. But no, we in the same house. So somebody wasn't progressing. I love my family, y'all, but sometimes we don't be doing right. That's just the bottom line. All right, let's move on. Verse 20. I got the desire. Oh, the desire of things in 19. I'm sorry. So no fruit is produced. And lastly, this is where we started. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest. So how did they produce that harvest? They heard and they accepted God's word. So when we say God's word is final authority, like, we may have a lot of good suggestions. You know, we may have people that we run things by. Hey, I just want to run this by. What do you think about this? That's all right if they're spiritual, especially. But sometimes, like, we just have to just stop getting all the other second, third, fourth opinions and just go back to the word because it's right there. And a lot of times, especially Christians, I'm sure, especially once you, like, kind of been in the game a little bit. Like, you know when you just trying to get another answer, but you already done memorized like 10 scriptures anyway, and you know what the word says, but you like, perhaps the Lord may give them a different revelation. No, you can just go right here. You don't have to change it. Amen. I think about, you know, when we talk about, because Waiting, Dating, and Maiden, that book that Pastor wrote, and just everything, all within that with the kingdom churches, I mean, it just changed my life. So, you know, you find somebody. I remember someone was interested in me, and I was like, now I read the whole book. I read the whole book. I had the want ad. I just knew the book. I knew each chapter. I knew all of that. And I said, all right, this guy, he don't align nothing with what this book is telling me. But I still was like, all right, but he has a job. You know, like, let's start there. He's making great money. So I was like, he even dresses nice. Like, it's not like his pants are sagging. Like, I knew what the standard, if I really wanted a kingdom marriage, I knew what I needed to be, how I needed to be operating. And if somebody was interested in me, I knew those checkpoints. We're talking about the soil test, right? I knew those points of inspection that person was going to need to pass. But I still was just like, but what if? You never know. Oh my gosh, I have so many cousins that say, girl, how you going to find somebody when you always at church? You never know. If you go to the Essence Festival, you might meet somebody. And I'm looking at who they with, and I'm like, no, I can't. That's evil communication, corrupt. And I mean, that's who you decided. But I was like, no, for me in my house, like, I have a different, I know what I was believing God for. And as many times as, like, somebody would come across and be like, oh, hey, I think you're pretty, I would just be like, I would almost be wanting to cry inside. Cause I'd be like, he don't pass. He ain't nothing about him going past. Like, hang up, like, delete, block. New phone, just switch from iPhone to Android, whatever you gotta do, get away. But this is so true, like, we do that, and if I can encourage the single women, just stay the course, because I did not know about no Patrick Nathan, and thank you, Lord. I'm just grateful. I'm thankful for his mentors, his leaders, everything. But so many people just didn't pass the test, and I was just trying to make it work. But when your heart is contaminated, right, soil can be contaminated with carbon materials, heavy metals, when I was reading about that, and I was like, man, that sounds like every weight and sin that easily besets us. So sometimes, like, people that don't qualify, then if you haven't gone anywhere with them, you know, any kind of level, you know, that's not sin, but just the weight of, you got that person's number and they can call you, they have access to you. That's a weight. Cause you know they don't fit the bill. Not if you're gonna do it God's way. You know, if you gonna own up and just be like, hey, I'm getting ready to do this because I'm outside of God's will, I'm outside of what my pastor taught me. They don't approve of it, they have not endorsed it, but I'm doing it anyway. If you comfortable doing that, then you can make your decision. But if you're going to say, I'm a part of KCOH, and I'm in the kingdom, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you better make sure it lines up with God's word and then God's man's teaching. Because I was telling my husband, I said, I have so many books. I'm like reading like 3 books right now. And I'm like, we have beyond enough resources. But how close are we to them? Did we pick them up? Like, sometimes a decision to not buy something that pastor produced, like, that shows, like, okay, something's going on with the soil. It might be producing over here, but what's this empty patch right here? It's a bunch of corn growing over here. I see some lettuce over here. I see the kale over here, but, like, this is an empty patch right here. That's the patch we want to deal with. Because that's the patch, that's the missing link. That's the area that's not getting watered right, right? This could be, and you can, you know, we good at, look at the corn, look how I'm flourishing. Look at that shadow over there, that darkness right there. That's what we want to deal with. Not because God wants to pick on us or our life group leaders want to pick on us. They always point out everything I'm doing wrong. Yeah, so you could be right. Does that make sense? So let's talk about this remediation plan really quick. What's the remediation plan? Let's talk about what the purpose of the plan is. At its core, it's an effort to remove the contaminants in the soil. We want to get the bugs out. We want to get those weed eaters. Well, no, we want the weed eaters. You know what I'm saying? The stuff that's tearing up the harvest. We want to get rid of that, right? There are pesticides that break down the soil quickly. There's also pesticides that can break down the soil over time. So the crops still look like they're flourishing, but they're actually decaying. Remember when Jesus cursed the fig tree? They didn't know, it was dried up in that moment, but they couldn't see the roots. That's what we want to deal with. Satan is like that. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, you can go there if you want. Matter of fact, yeah, let's go there. I like 26 as well, but let's go to Daniel chapter 7, 25. We can do that in King James, please. Yeah, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. Wear out the saints over time. Wear out the saints. See, when you wear something out, it's not the first time, right? You ever had a pair of, like, old shoes or old flip-flops? Like, it's real firm. The sole is real firm at first. But then, like, over time, it wears out. And I can see where your big toe, your second toe, like, I can see every single foot and part of your foot in that flip-flop. Because over time, you've worn it. It's been worn. So this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to wear out the saints. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion. That's victory. We just sing about that this morning. To consume and destroy it unto the end. So this is how we're going to get the victory, through the remediation plan. I don't have a specific order for this, but I'm going to start with deliverance. We mentioned Moses earlier. I didn't get to those scriptures, but refrain from speaking against the deliverer. Every time pastor delivers a message, there's deliverance taking place in whatever area. It could be, it should be that dark patch right there. And then sometimes it's just a part of that maintenance to make sure that the flourishing crops over here don't get contaminated. Resist the temptation to go back. There's a replacement factor. A lot of times when people backslide, it's because they haven't filled up their time and their body with the things of God. Even while you're in the process of deliverance, what are you doing to protect your end gates? Again, we talked about 1 Corinthians 15:33. Sometimes you got to go in like an ISO season where it's just me and God. I'm one-on-one. That's what ISO mean, right? In basketball. That right? It's just me and God right now. And I'm going to say me, God, the things of God, people of God, because you don't want to get off into, I only hear God for myself. Can't nobody tell me nothing. That's not God's way. All right? Next, devotion. What is our love, loyalty, and enthusiasm like in real life? Are we Sunday-only believers, and the rest of the week we never read our word? Do you know we have to actually do and be the word? Do what the word of God instructs us? He's been so kind to us, and that's why we should never be silent. We sing that also. I will not be silent as long as I'm breathing. Do you know what that means? Like, you should never be short of praise. And if you are, let's get that dark patch together. Discipleship. What have we been taught? Hebrews 2 and 1. I will not, let's go there. I don't wanna mess that one up. Hebrews 2 and 1. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed. Give more heed. More. I listened to that message. Do it more. I read that book already. Read it again. We should heed to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. They can slip. And lastly, this is a bonus, but I want to talk a little bit about discernment. I'll never forget that definition that First Lady Rogers gave, and I've kept it with me. The difference between what's right and almost right. See, the gentleman, that's almost right. He probably really was just all the way wrong, but I was clouded. But what's right and almost right. And so that's our remediation plan. Please, if there's an area, disclose that area and get the help you need so that you can be productive. You want to produce the 30, 60, and the 100. And that's my time. Thank you, guys.